Chapter 10. Hope for the Future.
What happened to you earlier, dear?
May said brightly when Archer got home.
I was waiting at Granny's, and Ellen came alone.
He knew that she was angry with him, but she was hiding her true feelings. I had some letters to finish at the office, he lied. Archer was tired of living like this. May could never surprise him with a new idea or feeling. Suddenly, he stood up and went to the window.
What's the matter? May asked.
I need some air, he said, opening the curtains and then the window. He put his head out into the cold night air and looked at the houses across the street. Knowing that there were other lives outside of his own made it easier to breathe.
Newland, shut the window. You'll catch your death of cold,
May said after a few minutes. Archer said nothing. But I'm already dead inside, he thought. I've been dead for months and months. Then, suddenly the idea of May dying came into his head. One day, he might be free. He was not shocked by the thought, because it felt so strange.
Newland, are you ill?
Asked May. I'm fine, he said, shaking his head and laughing. Poor May. I'll never be able to open a window without you worrying.
I shall never worry if you're happy,
she replied quietly. A week passed, and Archer heard nothing from Ellen. Then, one day, May's grandmother wanted to see him alone. His heart was beating wildly as he stood at Mrs. Mingott's door, hoping that Ellen might open it. But a servant came to the door and showed him to Mrs. Mingott's room. The old lady sat in her huge chair.
Am I very ugly?
She asked him with a laugh. Not at all. You're more beautiful than ever, Archer replied.
Ah, but not as beautiful as Ellen,
the old lady said, her eyes shining.
Did you admire her when you brought her here in the carriage? Did you tell her, and then you had to get out? I've always been sorry that she didn't marry you.
Archer thought that the old woman might be crazy.
Anyway, she's staying,
Mrs. Mingott went on.
The whole family have tried telling me what to do. If I don't give her any money, she'll have to go back to her husband, they say. But I want her to stay. She's going to live here and look after me, and I'll pay her.
Archer's mind was full of wild thoughts. Was Ellen staying because of him? She must never go back, he cried.
I know that you're on her side, replied the old lady. That's why I sent for you today. You see, the family doesn't want her here, and I'm not strong enough to fight them. You'll have to help me.
If you need my help, you'll have it, he answered. "And when will I see the Countess?" he asked. The old lady laughed.
"Not today. She's gone to see Regina Beaufort, another unhappy woman with a terrible husband. They're brave women, both of them."
Archer took Mrs. Mingott's hand and kissed it. The old lady laughed again.
"Ooh! I hope that you were thinking about kissing your wife's hand just then, young man, not someone else's."
Archer walked home, shocked by Mrs. Mingott's news. He was disappointed not to see Ellen and talk to her. In his mind, he had a picture of going to Washington with her and then going anywhere, even Japan. But now he was back at his own front door and his old life with May. He passed his house and kept walking until he came to the Beauforts. There, he stood waiting for Ellen to come out. At last, she appeared and came down the steps. "Ellen," he said quickly, "I must see you tomorrow. Meet me at the Metropolitan Museum at 2:30 p.m. The new Metropolitan Museum was empty. They sat in a room full of broken things from people's lives thousands of years ago. It's sad that these things don't matter anymore, and the people who own them are forgotten, Ellen said quietly. "But everything about you matters," Archer replied. "Why have you decided to stay in New York? Were you afraid of me coming to Washington?" "I'll be safer here." "Safer from me?" "Safer from hurting people. Isn't that what you always wanted?" Ellen began to cry. "To have you here, but out of reach? To meet in secret? No! It's the opposite of what I want." "And me too." "Then what do you think is better?" he cried, jumping up. "What can I do? I can't hurt the people who've helped me build my life again. Don't let's be like all the others." She stood up. "I must go." She turned away, and he caught her by the hand. Her face was wet, and he saw that her eyes were shining with love. Then she pulled her hand away and hurried across the room. She reached the door, looked back for a moment, and was gone. When Archer got home, he sat in his library without moving. Finally, the door opened and May came in. "I'm sorry that I'm so late," she said. "I went to see Granny, and then Ellen came in. So I stayed and had a long talk with her." May sat down opposite her husband, waiting for him to say something. But he was silent. "She was so dear, just like the old Ellen. I think that I've been unkind to her." May stopped again. "She hates Ellen," Archer was thinking. "But she's trying not to, and she wants my help." "We're going out to dinner, aren't we?" he said, getting up. May stood up, too, and moved toward him, putting her arms round his neck.
"You haven't kissed me today," she said.